You know it's coming anyway. Your Panthers,
he's been waiting all morning to ask you this, Brady.
Your Panthers director's hat on. Geez, he was under siege, the poor bloke, before he lost a game this season, Anthony Griffin. Back-to-back losses, all of a sudden, appears to be under siege. He says, I'm not worried. Well, yeah. Can you give people an insight, mate? Are there shenanigans at play there? Are there ructions at play at the Panthers?
No, nowhere near as what it's been reported, TK. It's just, you know, something that, you know, Gus is a perfectionist when it comes to football. And, you know, there's been times over the last couple of years where Anthony Griffin and Gus, you know, have sort of debated different things. So, and you know, this situation's just one of those that has been blown right out of proportion. The fact that we've lost two games and we've looked a bit scrappy, but, you know, it's a challenging period for a few of our players, being Origin. We've got some injury issues. So I think that's certainly, you know, that's blowing it right out of the water. So, no, it's nowhere near as serious as what it's being reported, but, you know, it's just a working relationship that there will always be debate about, you know, whether this way or that way is the best, and I'm sure it's been sorted out already.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're sick of talking about it, Brandy. But, mate, before you go, Boydie Cordner, you expect him to play?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
He declared himself the other day. He's just resting. He'll train today. So we're going to have a field session at 10 o'clock this morning, and Boyd will train, and he'll be right to go. He's done a fair bit of running, and the physios are happy with it. He's happy with it, so... I'm pretty sure Loz, he'll be good.
Good on you, mate.
Which is good news for Boyd and for us.
Yeah, it certainly is, mate. We wish him all the best. We wish you all the best, Brandy, on behalf of everyone here at the BSB team. Good luck on Wednesday night, and hopefully we can have that clean sweep 3-0.
Good on you, Loz.
I really want to open another branch of my cafe, but I just can't get the finance.
I need a loan to buy a new truck, but I don't have time for all that paperwork.
When you're ready to take the next step, a Prosper Small Business Loan can help. We're Australia's leading online lender to small business. You can apply online in minutes and get a decision in as little as 1 hour. To find out why we're trusted by over 12,000 small businesses like yours, visit prosper.com. That's PROSPA.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Approved applicants only. Credit license 45478.
The Amarok V6 Sportline Turbo Diesel Auto with 165 kilowatts of power, surging to an impressive 180 kilowatts on overboost.
Hold your horses, voiceover guy. What are you talking about?
You are.
Mate, let the honey badger help. This ute's got more grunt than a pig farm.
Okay. Where was I?
Yours from only $53,990 drive away.
Or you could just say it's a bloody ripper deal.
Do you want to just do my job?
All right, take a hike. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au and search Badger Talk for more Amarok deals.
I'm Sarah Womby. The Coalition has picked female achievement as the theme for this year's NAIDOC Week, which celebrates Indigenous Australian culture. Under the theme, Because of Her We Can, more than 500 organisations have received $1.4 million in grants to support events in every state and territory, which kicks off today. Indigenous Affairs Minister Nigel Scullion says NAIDOC Week is an opportunity to celebrate the achievements of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women. A football cup has historical recordings, art workshops, cultural showcases and cook-offs are just some of the grant-funded events to be held till July 15. An extremist pastor who harassed people at two Brisbane mosques looks set to be deported after being arrested. 31-year-old self-styled pastor Logan Robertson was taken into custody on Friday night and has been placed in immigration detention. Robertson and two others were charged after allegedly abusing community members at the Currabee and Darra mosques on Wednesday and Thursday. Ali Kadri from the Islamic Council of Queensland says it's not acceptable.
The most important thing is that such kind of hatred is not in our community, whether it's through criminal justice system or whether it's through deportation. That's number one. But I would really like to urge people to take a lesson from this, that extremism doesn't have any religion.
One pedestrian has been killed and another is fighting for life after they were struck by a car on the Central Coast overnight. The two men were struck by a car at Wilfred Barrett Drive near Minnie Street at the entrance north just after midnight. A man believed to be aged in his 20s died at the scene, while a 46-year-old man was taken to hospital in a critical condition. The driver of the car, a 44-year-old man, was sent to hospital for mandatory testing. The body of an elderly Perth man who sparked a search after he went missing has been found in the ocean. Police say 76-year-old William Joseph Wayne was last seen at Mossman Park on Friday afternoon, with his car later found in the nearby suburb of Swanbourne. Senior Sergeant Rod Hawkins thanked the emergency service volunteers for their assistance with the search. Overseas, North Korea says its resolve to give up its nuclear programs may falter after talks with the US and Pyongyang, contradicting Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who says progress was made. North Korea is calling the presentation by the US Secretary of State on how to denuclearize the peninsula as deeply regrettable. A US correspondent, Priscilla Huff, reports.
In a brief photo opportunity, both the Americans and North Koreans said there are things they have to clarify. It became clear after the meetings, clarification remains elusive. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told reporters as he departed for Tokyo, there are complicated issues, but progress was made on nearly all of the central issues. The North Koreans said the opposite, that the American approach was, quote, deeply regrettable, with gangster-like demands for denuclearization. With almost no details on concrete steps forward made public since the Singapore summit on June 12th, experts note that the formation of a small working group to hammer out details of a way forward is exactly how previous attempts at dialogue have failed. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
This is AIR News. Seven-time Supercars champion Jamie Whincup has made it 10 wins in 10 years in North Queensland by claiming victory in the opening race of the Townsville 400. It was Whincup's third race win of the year and was desperately needed to keep the defending Supercars champion within reach of current points leader Scott McLaughlin, who finished third.
We haven't been that close to the Penske guys recently, but we felt like we bridged the gap a little bit, which is nice, but the car was great. Yeah, Couchy and Romy giving rocket, and we're able to lead from the start, and then I had much better tyres at the end, so I was able to hold the lead.
Ricky Stewart labelled his Canberra side as pathetic before Blake Austin inspired the comeback of the season to keep their faint NRL final hopes alive with a 32-28 win over Canterbury. Dropped back to bench earlier this week, Austin helped the Raiders score three tries in the final 6 minutes to pull off the remarkable win at Belmore Oval. In the AFL, Melbourne overcame a major case of the goal-kicking yips to post a 9-goal win over Fremantle in humid conditions in Darwin last night. Earlier, Hawthorn beat the West and Bulldogs by 63 points, and there were wins for Port Adelaide and Brisbane. And the New South Wales Waratahs have clinched the Super Rugby Australian Conference title with a 77-25 flogging of the Sunwolves at Allianz Stadium. Australian Independent Radio News.
Builders, roofers, plumbers, you need Fast Flash. Fast Flash prevents leaks, even during extreme weather conditions. It's fully adhesive to tile and metal roofs. Non-toxic, lightweight, yet incredibly strong. Fast Flash comes in three sizes and three colours. Check it out now at any of number one roofing and building supply seven locations. Mona Vale, Narrabeen, Preston, Seven Hills, Regent's Park, Caringbah and the Central Coast. Fast Flash, your fast roof flashing.
For more grunt, talk and comfort, go and see the man. Penrith Mazda are the BT50 experts. With the BT50 XT 4x4 manual, now $39,990, drive away. Let the specialists at the Mazda Youth Centre Penrith tailor a BT50 to your specific needs. With over 50 youths on display, you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Penrith Mazda, family owned and operated, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4. MD18808.
At 15, here's Day.
Oh, yes. Oh, and there it is. What could be the shot of the tournament?
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
We hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. We know we are. As soon as we hear that little intro there, the music gets going, Raymond. I don't know about you, but it certainly gets the adrenaline pumping through the body. What do you reckon?
On-air light starts flashing.
That's always a concern, isn't it? We sometimes don't quite get that right. But we have this morning, 1353 53 is the open line number if you want to get involved in the program. You can do it via SMS as well. It's 0419 767 272, and of course the tweets at Big Sports WEND. Lots of sport been going on over the course of the weekend. We understand that. If we go to the National Rugby League, 52 points to 30. Your Dragons were pumped on Thursday night. Can you believe that there were 82 points scored in an NRL game?
You were down there, weren't you, James?
Yeah, 82 points.
It was actually exhilarating to watch.
Yeah.
Speaking of what was exhilarating to watch, Penrith Panthers on Friday night.
Very good, weren't they? Yeah. Jerome Luai announced himself to the National
Absolute
Rugby League.
Absolute star.
36 points to 4 over a disappointing Warriors. Anyone who's a Warriors fan out there?
They're a tough team to follow, aren't they?
Sorry is all I can say. Raiders 32, Bulldogs 28. That was the craziest finish to the game that you could ever hope to see. 14 minutes of Blake Austin was enough.
Magic. Blake
was
Austin.
Was enough.
Did he get man of the match for that?
I don't know whether they have. Well, we don't know whether he got the 3-2-1 in the Dally M's.
He turned the game.
He turned the game. He turned the game. And the other thing you've got to say is a game is never over now. They scored 18 points in the last six minutes.
It was extraordinary.
But, you know, as soon as they got that first try, the Blake Austin, you thought,
here we go.
Reece Martin
just
scored.
Keeps their little flicker of finals hopes alive. And particularly if the Broncos happen to get beaten today, then they're right back in at the Raiders.
$2.15, the Titans. The Broncos, $1.72. I give them a great hope, the Titans.
Absolutely.
I think they're playing well. Other games that have been going on. Of course, there's a World Cup been going on, I believe. England 2-0 over Sweden. That is fantastic. My team, through to the semi-finals now. First time since 1990.
You're a convert.
Well, in the absence of the Socceroos, and I looked at the sides, I said, you know what, I'd love for England to win. Harry Kane is a leader you could follow, right? I don't know whether you saw it during the course of the week against Colombia, the penalty shootout.
First man up.
Pulsating. Mm. Pulsating. Riveting sport. First man up, Harry Kane with the captain's armband on, said, boys, I'll lead the way.
Did you see the tweet during the week from a young boy in England? His name is Ben Williams. He's got, very sadly, he's got a brain tumour. And he's just completed radiotherapy.
Mm.
Hadn't been able to walk or talk for a couple of weeks. It's coming good, so things looking promising there. His first words were, World Cup. He's a massive England fan,
right,
and he wants the World Cup to, quote, go home to England. Harry Kane personally responded to the tweet, which was done on his behalf,
right,
and said, we will do our best to bring the World Cup home. And England are through to the semi-finals with that 2-0 win. And, of course, Russia are out. That's the big one, in a penalty shootout with Croatia.
Again, pulsating penalty shootout. We've just seen it here. And after being locked at 1-1 after 90 minutes plus injury time, it was then 2-2 after 120 minutes plus injury time. And Croatia, after they got the wobbles during the penalty shootout as well. But Russia, we fear for those Russian players.
You fear for the fate of them?
Who have missed penalty goals. I don't know who they are. We may never see them again. However, Croatia we will see again. So the way it shapes up now for the semi-finals, France v Belgium, England v Croatia.
Pulsating, all European teams. Overnight, Wimbledon started promisingly for the Australians, but it's ended in the third round. Kyrgios has just been beaten in straight sets by Nishikora. He's out. Dimonor was thrashed by Nadal in straight sets, but really enjoyed his time on centre court with one of the all-time great players. Matty Ebden's out, and both the girls lost overnight, Dasha Gavrilova and Ashley Barty. So, unfortunately, no Australians into the fourth round in the singles.
I was watching a bit of the Matty Ebden-Gier Simon game last night after the footy. Flicking around, just having a look. Watch a bit of Major League Baseball too.
There's plenty of sport
Yankees,
on it.
Yankees struggling against Toronto. But the thing that struck me about that, and Guy Simon ended up winning in four sets, how beautiful Wimbledon is. They were on court 18, and it was just majestic. I've never been.
James.
I know, and apparently you've been, Ray. You've got a shirt to prove it. But it just looked beautiful. The way it is presented for spectators, I thought, wow.
It is fantastic. We were there last year, took Tanya there when we were in England. Mm. Do you know they
tear up the courts after Wimbledon every year and
they
replant them and start again.
Well, they look magnificent, don't they, when they start?
Fantastic, yeah.
You wouldn't want the groundsman, whoever the head curator is, you wouldn't want to get that wrong.
Imagine getting
miss
that
it
wrong.
By a couple of weeks. But anyway, he's done it well for as long. He or she have done it as well as we could hope for a long, long time. The basket brawl.
Mm.
What was your take on that? I thought it was extraordinary. Essentially, I know they were playing their roughhouse tactics,
yep.
The Philippines, but it was Australia that started it.
Well, there was an Australian player who was clawed first.
Right.
And
then
the
was there an
reacted.
Overreaction from
Correct.
Pickett?
There was.
Yes.
Then there was a massive overreaction from
Correct.
The Philippine players. It was just extraordinary.
Luke Longley waded into the fight.
Well, he had to.
Yeah.
Some
to save Goolby.
Yeah.
And I thought when he came back, and I don't know whether they did this deliberately, getting off the plane, they thought, look, this is really blown up in Australia, guys, so we might not get you to speak to the press, but one of us should, and that one person was Luke Longley,
actually,
and I thought he handled himself fantastic.
Yeah, actually, they all phoned up.
He's become a bit of a statesman, Luke Longley, hasn't he?
And he spoke sense, and he spoke,
yes.
And he just made his point straight away, and look, I don't know, what sanctions happened to the Australian players?
Yeah, well, they're talking about Thon Maker being sanctioned by the NBA because he's an NBA player, but I think that would be a stretch given it wasn't an NBA game.
Surely the Filipino coach should get a lengthy ban.
Well,
because he's been caught telling his players to go after the Australians, put them on the deck.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, you just wonder. It was a World Cup qualifier. Mm. I think I'm right in saying that, World Cup qualifier. That World Cup of basketball... And they're looking to do this separately and run their own tournament.
Mm.
I think Andrew Bogut came out during the week and said, look, they should get out of the Olympics.
Have it a separate year.
And maybe make it an under-23 thing like football and have a World Cup, you know, like rugby do and like soccer do. And you know, given the fact that the Soccer World Cup is on, it's very topical around that. That would be a ratings bonanza. It would be huge if a basketball World Cup. The problem with it is that there's only one winner, essentially, and that's the USA. But given the popularity of that sport around the globe, I think that would be a huge one for them. 1353 53, the open line number on that one. And, of course, can you believe it? State of Origin is on Wednesday night. Back to Wednesday night, Suncorp Stadium. Dead rubber, no such thing, they're saying. Once again, a very smooth camp for both teams, essentially. And we'll talk to Peter Peters about this a little bit later. But the big focus now is not only Billy Slater's last game, but also... the fact that Daly Cherry Evans is back in a Queensland shirt, and I've got to say, probably under a little bit of pressure, right?
Yeah, you know, we were discussing this last week because you're worried about his game management, aren't you? You know, but I think he had to come back in. Benny Hunt probably hard done by, but he had two chances, and he's still on the bench, Ben Hunt. But is DC there just as a temporary measure?
No, I think it's an opportunity for him if he plays well to cement his spot.
If Morgan's
in years
next
to come.
Year.
If Morgan's fit next year, I think he can. He has the capacity to play other positions that Daly Cherry Evans doesn't. If he plays well, I think the one he's up against is Ash Taylor.
Yes.
Ash Taylor is the guy who you just look at and you think, I don't know whether physically he prepares himself as well as he could. Talent-wise, he is exceptional. He is exceptional. SMS coming in already. This is Brett from Broadbeach. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. BJ Leilua has to be on the podium as one of the biggest flogs to play NRL. His spray on the Morris boys at the end of the game was a disgrace. BJ has a shocker before he scored the winning try. A bit of humility wouldn't go astray. It was, well, I don't think it was unsavoury.
It was a bad look.
Would you do it?
No.
Well, we know the answer to that already.
Did it happen much in your era in the game?
Not, folks like Paul Langmack and Terry Hill used to, I don't think they remonstrated quite as much as BJ Leilua did last night. It was more
subtle,
it was more like
the
chatter and the sledging and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Did he go over the top? Well, he'd had a running battle with them all night. He got the better of them at the end. They won the game. Does it excuse what he did? No. Does it upset me what he did? No.
That's interesting.
No, he didn't vilify anyone.
What about if your boys are watching that?
Oh, you'd talk to them about it. You'd explain to them.
How do you explain that?
I would explain that. Look, that is one way to react after scoring a match-winning try.
Wouldn't you say that's not the way to react?
No, well, I'd say, look, I think this person has lost himself a lot of friends here and a lot of admirers the way he's carried on. The way to carry on is to do it with humility and a respect for your opposition.
Correct.
But I'm not going to condemn, because you know what? It makes for great watching. It makes it
cringeworthy. I went, look at this bloke.
Did you want to turn the TV off?
Well, no, but my first reaction was, oh, you're kidding me. And it didn't need to be done. They won the game. Good luck to them. You know, why do that? That's my point. Why do it?
Mm. Well, you could have just celebrated with your teammates.
Correct. And you should have.
Celebrated over the top, which he did. He then went back for a second go, too.
Why? I don't see the point of it.
You couldn't.
You won the game.
As a coach.
Look at the scoreboard. That's all he used to say in my day. Look at the scoreboard.
As a coach, the fire in the belly of BJ Leilua needs harnessing, right?
Correct.
So, because he makes some horrible errors at different stages, takes bad options, etc. And then the fire in the belly is the thing that gets you over the line at the back end of a game. So they're all the things to consider. But we'll take your thoughts on that. It's an interesting
about
topic.
Fire in the belly. The Panthers have got one, which I love watching, Hetherington. He does he does push the envelope sometimes. But you want someone like that in your forward pack, don't
totally.
You? When he comes
They've
on...
They've got to be a three in their forward
pack. They do.
James Fisher-Harris.
Harris is fantastic. But when he came on, didn't he have an impact on Friday night? Wow.
You know what? This is... I always knew that his father was Brett Hetherington, right? The former Canberra Raiders player, the Cowboys player. I think he was a premiership player in 1994. Very good player from young, the cherry pickers there. So, but Brett Hetherington is married to Brett Mullins' sister.
Okay.
So you can see now the Mullins genes in Jack Hetherington. He's got that leg speed,
yeah,
hasn't he?
For a big man. Yeah.
So he gets the size and strength from the Hetheringtons and the speed from the Mullins. He's the perfect prototype.
It's a complete package.
he's fantastic. So there you go. 1353-53 is the open line number. Just before we go to a break, our talk topic for today, Raymond, on the back of Darren Nicholls making his debut for the St. George Illawarra Dragons, age 29 and 75 days. We're looking at late bloomers.
Late bloomers.
Late bloomers.
You got one?
I have. I've got a late bloomer, I think. Mm-hmm. Happy Clapper.
Ah, okay. I like that.
There you go. Happy Clapper. 7 years of age, rising 8-year-old.
Wins his 3 Group 1s this season, yeah.
This season. Yeah. Late bloomer.
Does Roy Hobbs from The Natural, that count?
Now you're referencing...
Best baseball movie of all time.
Fictional movies.
No, well, fair...
It's not based on any fact.
No, it's
you
not.
Know, The Natural.
No, but what
it's a
great movie.
It's a good
movie.
Story.
It's a great
story.
Movie. Robert
great
Redford. Story. Don Roy Blackie, Hobbs. Australia's oldest test cricketer, made his test debut in 46 years, 253 days. Bert Ironmonger was 16 days younger than Don Blackie. They made their test debuts in the 28-29 series.
Wow.
When Bradman made his debut for Australia, by memory.
Okay, and he was 21, I think.
So weave Don in there somewhere.
Somehow. So there you go. So we're looking for the late bloomers. Darren Nicholls has inspired our talk topic this week, the late bloomers. By the way, coming up on the program too, we've got the usual suspects. Zorba will be along. Dean Bulldog Ritchie as well. Corey Brown will be on the program after 3 winners yesterday. Danny Williams, Robert Price. And our legend of the game is the great Ray Rabbits Warren, about to call his, we think it's 90th, State of Origin match.
That's a good knock.
This Wednesday night. That is a fantastic knock.
Mum, have you seen the latest fridges at Bingley?
Tell me, Lionel.
Speed chilling, giant touchscreens, digital smarts.
What would they think of next?
A bonus Bingley gift card worth up to $400 when you buy a fridge at Bingley.
Amazing.
I thought of that myself.
Amazing.
Get a bonus gift card worth up to $400 when you buy a fridge right now at Bingley.
Excludes bar fridges, ASCO and Miele. See bingley.com.au for details.
Race the best with the best. Dynamic Syndications and Rosehill trainer Gerald Ryan invite you to consider our flashy colt by exciting new sire, Verrazano. The champion son of champion sire, More Than Ready. From Let's Get Famous, dam of Group 3 winner Let's Make a Deal, and daughter of champion mare Let's Elope. Shares in our dynamic Verrazano colt, trained by Gerald Ryan, are only $5,625. Visit dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-61-9999. AFSL 3368-08.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
You've heard of the war on waste, but what can businesses do? Whether you're a brickie or a barista, you can do your bit to keep valuable resources in circulation. Planet Ark has developed the War on Waste Toolkit for Business to help you choose the right recycler or recycling equipment supplier. Get your staff on board and find products made from recycled material. Even if you're not in the recycling business, you can be in the business of recycling. Visit businessrecycling.com.au.
Absolute joy to be here. A little mini classic early in the season. Pickering gets his second goal. Creases that. And the goal to be 2-2.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. We get this in about 30 seconds after we start. Hey, boys, I've heard enough. What time is Tanya Thomas on?
Another fan,
no,
Tan.
No name on that one.
Another fan.
There we go. Morning, boys. Can't believe the Tab have the Knights as favourites against the Bye today. I reckon their left side defence would lead points against the Dudley Redhead Magpies under sevens. In saying that, this is from Muzz, those Dudley Redhead Magpies under sevens, they've got a very good right side attack.
Have they?
So,
okay.
Yeah, so fair enough. Also, BJ Leilua is a goose. He has so much talent, but only brings it out once a month at best and carries on like an idiot. Cheers, Muzz. I agree with you. He carried on like an idiot, but I found it compelling.
Tom. This is from Tom. Jimmy, what is great about watching Leilua carry on like that?
Because it's compelling.
That's my point.
It's compelling. Do you watch a scary movie? Look. What's good about a scary movie, but you can't stop watching it?
I'll go back to my previous point. What if you're watching that game with your two boys?
I told you.
Boston River is sitting there.
But it moves you in a way. It moves you in a way. So as a result of that, you feel something.
Mm. Yeah, rather than I'm not with you. No. Okay. Here's one. This one from Justin Hunter. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys. How are you going? A late bloomer is the late Robert Dutchy Hohn. Bob Hohn. May used to be. He was 38 years of age.
38. Yeah. Did he get the tenfer?
He did at his debut, wasn't it?
On debut. Was it at the West Indies at the SCG?
It was at the SCG.
Yeah.
This one's from Smacker. G'day, Ray and Jimmy. Late bloomer. What about our famous Sydney to Melbourne shuffler, Cliff Young?
Oh, yeah.
Cheers from saying the rumour. Yes. How old was Cliff Young? Was he 61?
60. I reckon he's 60 when he did the ultra marathon.
That was amazing. That was great vision, that, wasn't it? So,
Hang on a minute. Went for 5 days, running down the Hume. I don't know about your TV programming. Hang on. What are we going to do today for the next five?
No, but it wasn't for all.
What are we going to do for the next 5 days, Ray? We're going to film Cliff Young shuffling down.
I didn't phrase that very well. And the nightly news grabs. How's that? Is that
so you've condensed his 24 hours work, and probably then
is he still in front?
He's getting on the bus to have something to eat.
Didn't you find that, to use one of your expressions, compelling? And Clippy Young was hanging on to that lead?
Absolutely. Who was the Greek guy that used to come out and do so very well in it? Oh,
the Greek ultra marathon.
Yeah, the ultra marathon.
Remember,
Tom? G'day, Cliff, what do you do? I'm an ultra marathoner. Actually, he was a dairy farmer, wasn't he?
Cliffy?
Yeah, he used to run in his gumboots up and down the hills in his dairy farm in Victoria. Yeah.
We've gone right off track here, haven't we?
I wouldn't have thought so. No,
potato farmer, Tanrick, is it?
I thought he was a dairy farmer. Anyway, and he married a very young bride.
Mm.
It garnered him a lot of attention, so someone found it compelling at enough television, Raymond.
I've tensed it in the last.
Okay. Now we've gone through Cliff Young, right? Yeah, we can tick that off the run sheet.
It should go down there, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I'll put that down. Who is that? There's a lot of people saying, come on, ladies.
Jack from Old Bar.
We'll get to Jack very shortly. You got your race replays to get to.
Very funny. Okay, on to Randwick yesterday, and there was a couple of really promising horses. The first race, Halaku. Remember this horse's name. He was very good.
Coming around the home turn, Sunday Poet in front from Ari Songs and Albert's No Pussy being nursed around the corner. Then Mizzy getting tight for room on the fence. Thinking Big is getting a gap and squeezing through. Kashiwa runs up behind us. Halaku moves up on the outside. Halaku makes the run now. Dashes to the front from Ari Songs. Marmaris is coming down the outside, but Halaku's drawn clear at the 150 from Marmaris. Blast, then Thinking Big fighting out the miners, but Halaku's going to win it by a big space. Halaku by 4 to blast.
So Hulaka, the two-year-old, looked to be all over the place, very green in the running, and then bang.
Turn a foot.
Wow. Yeah, very impressive.
We'll ask Corey Brown about him a bit later, but he's a promising horse. As is this next filly, Danny Williams took two fillies to Randwick yesterday, had a win and a close second. Here's the winner, Highway 66.
We'll spin the corner in front. From Ribs on the outside, then Hard Merchandise, Neutron Dame, Roman Typhoon pushing through. And Janama whips around the outside of the field. Coming up the hill now, Highway 66 in front. From Ribs, then Hard Merchandise, Roman Typhoon edging into the clear from Janama. Now Nick Anita getting into its work. Highway 66 inside the 200 in front by two lengths on Roman Typhoon and Nick Anita. Highway 66 in front, running on empty. Highway 66 clinging on, they're all coming. Janama and Nick Anita, but Highway 66 got in. There was enough gas in the tank. Highway 66 bit either Nick Anita or Janama.
First up, Highway 66, so the good win there. Really went forward from the start of the race and showed a bit of toughness too to hang on there.
Did you pick up Darren Fundell then? Highway 66, enough gas in the
tank. Yeah.
Very well done.
Yeah.
He's good, isn't he, Darren Fundell?
Going well. Mm. Going very well.
Race 7, Just Shine. A second up specialist, a great Corey Brown ride. Go, you good thing.
Just Shine goes to third. Karzok getting the head right up in the air. He's just in front of Veladero. Just Shine starting to knuckle down to the task now. Karzok and Just Shine. Just Shine swept home best on the outside. And Just Shine wore down Karzok. Curra got up to run the third. Then Dagny.
Just looking up a bit more of that. He was a potato farmer, you're quite right.
Not Just Shine, but Cliff Young. Yeah. No,
no,
very impressive.
No, Just Shine was not a potato farmer. We're going to, again, another one we can ask Corey Brown about. And he comes on to
his winners. Yep.
It's interesting, too, that he said about the 600-metre mark, something not quite right, and then gave it a little...
He hit a softish patch, and the horse just seemed to start to lose momentum. Little slap with the whip, just took off like a jet.
And then the last 100, 150, bang.
Very impressive. Down to the last, a great battle this between Noble Joey and She Knows. Noble Joey at $26.
Knows chiming in, Bandifer down the outside. On the far side, we've got Rebel Miss coming through. It's She Knows, Noble Joey and Rebel Miss. She Knows just in front of Noble Joey. Bandifer late. She Knows, Noble Joey. She Knows, Noble Joey. Noble Joey kicks and Noble Joey fended off She Knows to win the last. Bandifer third and tip top.
So Noble Joey, you couldn't have been confident. We can ask Robert Price about it. At all stages looked under pressure during
the
course of the race.
She Knows headed Noble Joey halfway in the straight.
So. Absolutely. But loomed and then looked under pressure and then you thought, oh no, maybe not today, and did well to hang on and get the win. And as we said, we'll talk to Robert Price a little bit later on in the program.
Exactly. Big day at Flemington yesterday's Winter Championships finals day, and one horse had everyone's interest. It was Nature Strip in the Creswick Stakes. Is he heading towards the Everest?
First time at the mile, leads 2.5 lengths. Magic Consoles coming after him strongly though, and they were followed by deeper on the track, Galaxy Raider.
We might have jumped one ahead there, hoping to get Nature Strip. Did you see Nature Strip, Jim?
Yeah. My question is, can he run the 1,200?
Let's listen.
Order of Command's making some ground towards the inside. Egyptian Bullet's coming through, but Nature Strip. This is what we came to see. He's put four lengths on them. Egyptian Bullet goes to second. Order of Command trying to make up ground, but it's Nature Strip. Still clear and holding them at bay, and he does what he needs to do. Nature Strip by two lengths on Order of Command, Egyptian Bullet.
So there you go. The question mark. The previous very impressive win was over 1,000 metres. 1,200 metres is the distance of the Everest, of course. Now, I know there's been a lot of discussion during the course of the week following... slot holders picking up, say, Damien Blau with
Santa
English,
Santa
Ana Lane, etc. But it all depends what you can negotiate.
Correct.
It's like we talk about the players in the National Rugby League. You'd buy every one of them. Just a matter of what price you buy them at.
Very good point, Ian. Yeah. He's definitely in the mix. He's an untapped talent, Nature Strip. Will the Everest come round too soon? I don't know.
Five slots remaining. Looking at those five slots, do you look at anyone there and think, oh, that might be a good fit or they could do a deal there?
I know two slot holders are looking at Nature Strip.
Okay. That's always a good sign.
The ATC definitely want an overseas horse.
Right.
GPI Racing, well, they own Chautauqua, so it all hinges on him. Gee, it's very tough, those last five slots.
We talked about it last year. This is one of the great attractions of the race.
Oh,
the deals
intriguing.
That get done.
It's intriguing. Hey, yesterday at Flemington, Jim, Craig Williams had a day out. Six winners, including the feature on Magic Console in the Winter Championship final.
first time at the mile. Leads 2.5 lengths. Magic Consul's coming after him strongly, though. And they were followed by deeper on the track, Galaxy Raider. Magic Consul for Craig Williams took the front. And Magic Consul, Craig's going to get 5. Magic Consul is the winter champ. 2 lengths, Mossendale.
And, of course, he won the last then on Candace to give him the 6 winners for the day, which hasn't happened at a Flemington meeting in a long, long time, James.
Yeah, fantastic effort from Craig Williams. So they're the race replays. If you want to comment on any of them, I know we've already had Eagle-Eyed Phil's wanting to have his say on a bit of it. 13-53-53 is the open line number. Just on Cliff Young, married Mary Howe, who was 39 years his junior.
39 years his junior.
Yes,
he was a potato farmer.
He was 62. He was a potato farmer. You're quite right, Tan. 62 years of age and 23-year-old Mary Howe. They married. And the race sponsor, Westfield, hosted the wedding so that for the enjoyment of shoppers.
There you go. Now,
unfortunately, they were divorced 5 years later.
I did text Richard Freeman because Sarah sent his good horse ran in America probably a couple of hours ago. And he's just sent a text back. We never thought he could win that race, but they ran 45.8. for the first 800 metres and 1:32 for the mile. Saracen got run off his legs. Track was very hard too, which he didn't much like either. Not the start we were hoping for, but he seems to have pulled up okay. So that's Saracen. He's heading towards a Group 1 next month, Jim.
There you go. What a terrible ride on Tip Top. Next start, hopefully. That's talking through his kick, no doubt. Eagle-eyed Phil. Late bloomers. Cody Walker. For South Sydney, he's one of the best attacking players in the NRL in his second year in the late 20s, having a crack.
He's exciting
year
to watch.
For the Bunnies. Paul at Huskisson.
He's exciting to watch.
He's
Cody
fantastic.
Walker.
I think he was 26 years of age when he made his debut in 2016, and he was unlucky not to be named Rookie of the Year that year, aged 26. He was very, very good. 13-53-53 is the open line number. We'll be getting to call us very shortly. There's another nomination for Cliff Young. Have you read Jack from Olbar?
Jack from Olbar, what did he say? You read Michelle from Dubbo Y, just find Jack from Olbar again.
Late bloomer, number one, Jeff Horn versus Pacquiao, title fight at aged 29. Number two, me, at a mature age, becoming an avid BSB weekend listener. Who knew there was such a show on Sunday morning? Yeah, not many, apparently.
Spread the word, Michelle. Spread the word. Jack from Olbar, morning boys, late bloomers, Susan Boyle.
It's a good point.
Which one's British? Talent. What was that show?
Britain's Got Talent.
That's it, yeah.
Britain's Got Talent. Yeah, they're all really
they
concerned
all
about
her.
It. Then she went out and
started
blew
singing.
Their socks off. Jimmy and Ray, Michael Hussey being a late bloomer, making his international debut, age 30, and going on to be one of the best cricketers of his generation. Rooster Mick from Goulburn. That is an excellent one.
He did serve his so-called apprenticeship in Sheffield Shield cricket for a long time. Couldn't break into that outstanding Australian team. But when he did, through the one days, by memory, Jim, didn't he make his mark, Michael Hussey?
I think he ended up playing about 75 test matches.
Fantastic
too, didn't
player.
He? And he's one of those guys who scored 10,000 test runs, first-class runs, before he got a test run.
Extraordinary.
I think Phil Jakes was another one like that too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he just knew his game so well, and you always felt when Michael Hussey was in the crease, Australia in the contest, didn't
And they were positive, weren't they? And if you wanted a nickname, Mr. Cricket.
Loved it,
it's not a. He used to weigh his bats. He used to weigh his bats, so... very interesting. 13-53-53, the open line number. We've got callers there. Adam is on the line. G'day, Adam.
Morning, man. How are you going?
Really
morning,
well,
Adam.
Mate. What do you got for us?
Just the BJ Lelua thing. Look, I didn't really have too much of an issue with it. I just thought that, he's had a little bit of afters there, but he's probably copped a fair bit throughout the game. I'm pretty sure that most teams go out to target him because he can be a bit loose at times. But, I mean, I don't think there was a hell of a lot in it, to tell you the truth.
I tend to, that's my point, Adam, is would I do it myself? No. Would I encourage anyone, if I was a coaching aside, to do it? No. Would I encourage my sons to do it? No. Do I find it repulsive? No.
No, I wouldn't encourage my kids to do it either, but, I mean, the game needs characters too. I mean, have a look at Mick Ennis, Gordon Tullis over the years. They'd give it to the crowd. They'd get stuck and have a go. I mean, both those guys are on Fox now. They're doing all right for themselves. I just don't have too much of an issue with it. But Anyway, yeah. That's just my opinion. And my late bloomer, I'd like to throw out there, Happy Gilmore. I mean, he played a bit of ice hockey. He was a bit lousy at that, but he went on to win a green jacket. So.
Love the swing. Love the swing.
Green or gold.
That's a very good point. Shooter McGovern.
That's a really good call. Are you going to put Adam down your list of prize winners?
I am. I'm
going to
put putting Happy Gilmore and BJ Leilua as his topic. So there's a double asterisk there for Adam. 1353-53, the open line number. Darren Nichols, Dragons halfback. That's Slim from Mount Annan. Slim might have just turned on the radio. That's the person who inspired the talk topic. But we take your point. 1353-53, the open line number. A break and back with more.
Mum, have you seen the latest fridges at Bingley?
Tell me, Lionel.
Speed chilling, giant touchscreens, digital smarts.
What would they think of next?
A bonus Bingley gift card worth up to $400 when you buy a fridge at Bingley.
Amazing.
I thought of that myself.
Amazing.
Get a bonus gift card worth up to $400 when you buy a fridge right now at Bingley.
Excludes bar fridges, ASCO and Miller. See bingley.com.au for details.
Where will the smart buyers be in 2019? Inglis was the only auction house to sell a Group 1 winning 2-year-old in 2018. Give your yearlings the best chance at the greatest success. Entries for the 2019 sales series close August 3. Go to inglis.com.au.
Fiji Friday at Panthers Penrith gives you the chance to score one of 16 holidays for two to Fiji. Naturally, though, you've got to be a member. So what are you waiting for? Join today for just $5, James, that's all it is, yeah, and mate. Score a ticket into the draw straight away. Then earn one ticket a day just by swiping. Plus additional tickets when you purchase food and drinks and when you mention the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend at the Members Centre. Panthers Penrith, home to 11 outstanding restaurants, 7 bars, live entertainment, and Fiji Friday every Friday during June. Well, now we're into July.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up today at panthers.com.au.
You were there during the week?
Oh, I branched out. Off the straight and narrow.
Hang on. There's 11 restaurants there, and you went to Osso. You didn't branch out too much, Raymond, did you?
Yeah. I saw the filet mignon, but actually...
So how much did you branch out? What, did you sit in a different spot?
I had the entree.
You wear a different shirt.
No, I can't remember. I had an entree, which was fantastic.
What was it?
Scallops with mozzarella cheese on top.
Right.
Even Mark tried one. He says, not too bad, Dad, but that's all he had. But they were, when you come out, if you ever come out,
I'm coming out. I'll definitely be out there.
You'll enjoy it.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
It's Jon Snow racing to the lead in the Derby. He beat off Harper's Choice. Hardham is surging at them. Jon Snow in front. Jon Snow from Harper's Choice's game. Jon Snow, another New Zealand victory in the Derby.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Ray and Jimmy. 7:42 on your Sunday morning. As I mentioned earlier, Jim, Danny Williams brought up 2 3-year-old fillies from Goulburn yesterday. Highway 66 got the job done on the Tab Highway. She knows, gallant in defeat under a big weight in the closer. And Danny's on the line from Goulburn this morning. Danny, good morning. And, well, both fillies were terrific yesterday, Dan.
Oh, fantastic, Ray. Look, we were just so over the moon, mate. She knows, just keeps giving and giving, and, both horses, I've got a, huge opinion of Highway 66, and I wouldn't like it again. I wouldn't like it over again. Certainly, it was good to get it under a belt, and just a wonderful, I'm living the dream with She Knows. My partner and I lease her, and she's giving us a big thrill, and she just keeps giving and giving and giving.
And just on Highway 66, Danny, you could probably say the same thing. She showed a lot of toughness hanging on in that straight. Is the 1,200 metres, is that the best distance for her?
Oh, Jimmy, I think 14.
Right.
If you realise how much work she's had, she really was underdone, and I didn't mean to try and... put people off. But I'm very genuine in what I say when I get asked.
Mm. Well, that's true, Danny. And you did point out that she didn't have a trial and she was 11 weeks into her comeback run yesterday. Normally you like to have a trial and 12 weeks into the preparation. So with Highway 66 to get the job done yesterday, fantastic start to a prep, and she's a horse to follow from here on.
Oh, most definitely, Ray. I'm not sure how many starts we'll give her. She's Bob's eligible, so we'd like to think that we could give her perhaps another run before the end of this month. You know, sooner the better, to be honest. I'm not sure where we're going. It really depends on how much that has taken out of her, but, you know, our plans to aim her at the anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
In October, so she'll perhaps need a short break before then.
Mm. I think I'm right in saying first up since November. Was there a particular reason for the long break, or was that very deliberate? Was there a setback with Highway 66, Danny?
Yeah, Ginny, she came down with a virus
right.
back in early February, I guess mid-February, leading into the qualifying races, and we were sort of just battling it at the time the race came along, and she just got very sick, so we were forced to turn her out.
And what about She Knows, Danny? 3 wins and 4 seconds, the last 7 starts. She hit the front probably 150 metres out. Maybe the weight told. Noble Joey fought back on the inside, but she was brave in defeat again. What are your plans going forward with She Knows?
Well, Ray, we would like ideally to try and win a black type race for the owner, who we've leased the mare off.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be a very nice brood mare when she goes out and finishes racing, hopefully not in the near future, but we will perhaps give her 2 or 3 weeks out.
Yep.
At the view of bringing her back for 1 or 2 runs. She definitely needs 1 or 2 runs before getting fit. She's such a gross doing filly. She actually, we took some feed with her yesterday, and she all she wanted to do was put her head to feed these. And straight away, last night, she just came home and got straight into a feed, and, you know, it just goes to show how tough she is. So we'll give her 2 or 3 weeks, bring her back, and I think there's a nice fillies race at Caulfield on Caulfield Cup Day, so perhaps that's the way we'll go.
Yeah, well, she certainly deserved a break. She had a great prep, and now look forward to seeing what Highway 66 can do next start.
Mm.
Danny, thanks for joining us this morning. Congratulations on the stable results yesterday.
Thank you, Jim.
There he is, Danny Williams. Nice and fresh down at Goulburn, I'd imagine.
Cool this morning, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The win yesterday with Highway 66, and I've got a feeling that's the first time we've had Danny on the program, is it?
On a Sunday morning, possibly. Yeah.
I think that is. Lots of late bloomers coming in here. Late bloomer James Podsiadly for Geelong. Debuted at 28 in 2010, and they won the flag in 2011. He was their leading goal kicker. That's Leanne from Tamworth. Good on you, Leanne. We get this one, late bloomers. How about Jared Hayne? He made his NFL debut age 27. His rugby sevens debut age 28, and still has a dream of representing Fiji at the 2020 Olympics in the pole vault age 33. I reckon Ray deserves an honourable mention as well. That's cheers from most. Oh, by the way, just on that.
There's a theme going there,
yeah,
I think.
Boys, yeah, late bloomer, Ray Thomas, snatching a gem like Tanya, lucky bugger, Dave from the coast. Yeah, late bloomer.
Late bloomer. She hasn't come to her senses yet. So
I don't think there's any doubt about that. Absolutely. 1353-53, the open line number. And we've got Robert Price on the line, Raymond.
Yeah, Robert, good morning. Hopefully we have Robert on. He trained Noble Joey yesterday, who fought back after being headed by She Knows. I think Robert's here now. Robert, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jim.
Thanks for joining us, Robert. And gee, it was tough yesterday because She Knows definitely headed Noble Joey, probably 150 metres out.
Well, that's always been his trait, guys. He's real tough when he's right. And like I say, last prep, we just couldn't get him right. This prep, everything's just fallen into place, and it's just been troublous preparation, and yeah, everything's just been great. But that's his greatest tribute, is his ability to fight.
Yeah, and you might have even answered the question I was going to ask there. I was talking about just looking at the run. He always seemed to be under pressure for whatever reason, whether it's, he jumped pretty well, and then at different stages, as we said, headed in the straight. But How were you feeling during the course of the run, Robert? Were you ever fully confident? You might have been, given, you know, the preparation that he's done.
Well, I'd be lying if I said I was confident, because it was close at the finish, but I knew he'd be tough at the end, because I've ridden his fast work coming into the run. He's not a fancy track worker. The owners are quite often at me about how's he going to go today, but
yeah.
I was pretty confident yesterday because his work's been sound. And enjoying his work. Like, I know it sounds a cliche, but he you can feel him underneath enjoying his work. Yeah. You know, he's happy when he comes back to scale after you've given him a gallop, and it's just a big difference when they're happy and enjoying what they're doing.
Robert, I'm interested, like, this horse did start off his career in a blaze of glory, so to speak, looked highly promising. Then, is it fair to say he lost his way a little? How do you get a horse's confidence back? How do you get him back winning again?
Well, extremely difficult. And when I put him in the paddock, just to be honest with you, I didn't think we would. I thought it was a 50-50 thing. You just don't see that very often. Horses come back when they lose all form and their form tapers off low. The one thing you've got to remember is they never lose ability.
Yeah.
They only lose form. So we were fortunate enough to come back this prep with a less rating point, so we're able to compete in a, you know, benchmark 80s, which, you know, we can be competitive in. We just sort of got ourselves up in the rating points. We're carrying big weight. And everyone knows he races right on the speed, so it's a tough way to win a race. And I think it just gutted him a couple of times early in the start of that last prep when we're carrying big weights, getting taken on by nice horses, you know, like Tango Rain, which is a race against Deep Flow and horses like that. You know, they're all good, tough, just off the verge of black type horses. So I think it was a combination of good spell and just keeping him happy this time in. You know, we know, sort of know what he wants. He's a bit different to most horses. I've got all these beautiful grass paddocks here, but he's happy in his box.
Yeah, right. And the weight change was significant too. One up for She Knows and one down for you guys.
Oh, good as gold. The turnaround there too also was fitness going forward too.
Right.
Took a lot out of that first run.
Robert, I'm sure Jimmy doesn't know, and a lot of our listeners might not know. Not only do you train a very good team down Nowra Way, you also ride a lot of your horses in work, and you look after the Nowra track. Is that correct?
Oh, well, I don't look after the Nowra track. I do rate it for the club.
Yep.
So race days, I've done that quite a number of years. Race days, Lynn Locke, she'll call me, or the stewards, Mr. Wells will call me, and we go down and rate the track. It's hard country tracks, to, especially when I'm getting a lot of horses on them, to get a finger on the pulse as far as ratings concerned for the punters. So I put my hand up to do that years ago, and I know it's a good thing, but I've still got the job.
Well, how's the Nowra track looking like for today, Rob?
Oh, look, it was in patches. Like, we've left it a heavy, nine. I think we'll leave it to the stewards to make their decision on whether they upgrade that. But we've had westerly winds here the last 48 hours, and it's just put a crust on top. So I think when they race and they take that crust off, it's going to be a similar track.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. What about the horses you have running today? Race 3, Mohican, Race 5, a couple of runners there, runner in Race 6 and Race 7. What's your best hope?
Yeah, look, I think Mohican's our best, but he's a funny sort of a horse. He's an authorised, he can run through the bridle. Cathy's the key to him. Wherever he lands, he doesn't need to be forced there. He just needs to fall out of the gates. If he leads, he leads. If he's back, he's back. And you just got to not put any pressure on him. Don't get him racing when he shouldn't be racing, but he's our best.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's the big test, Robert. Ray Thomas, are you tipping Mohican today?
I don't mind Mohican. I also like Colonel Panago. Is that how you pronounce it?
That's how you pronounce it.
Yeah. They should run well today.
Is that right?
Right. He's taken a bit of schooling, the Colonel, but we've nearly got him right.
And Street Prince might be the best horse you've got racing today at Nowra, but probably needs to run first up, Rob.
Look, I think he goes good fresh. You know, I hope he doesn't die a maiden at horse, but, you know, he's got plenty of ability, but he's got a few... what's the word? Conviction is the word I'm looking for.
That's what Jimmy says about me every day, too. I know where you're coming from.
Ray, you're a late bloomer.
Robert, apparently so. I tell you what, the emails and the SMS are flooding in on that. And you know what?
Never
a true
word spoken,
Robert.
No. Hey, Rob, look, terrific win yesterday by Noble Joe. I know it's a race day today, so you've got plenty on. Really appreciate you taking the time to join us on a Sunday morning, and congratulations again, Rob.
Yeah, thank you very much. No worries. All the best, boys.
Thanks.
There he is, Robert Price, and Noble Joey, the winner yesterday. So just confirming, when you do your tips, Mohican?
I think he's a chance. Yeah, I didn't tip him on top.
Right.
He's a chance. He's in my top four there. It's in the...
Oh, no worry. I saw
it. Okay. You're having a go at me, eh?
Yeah. No, when I said in front of Robert, you said, oh, yes, I think it's a very good chance.
I do.
You don't think it's that good a chance. You've listed at four.
You're hard, man.
13:53:53. A break and back with more.
Mum, have you seen the latest fridges at Bingley?
Tell me, Lionel.
Speed chilling, giant touchscreens, digital smarts.
What would that think of next?
A bonus Bingley gift card worth up to $400 when you buy a fridge at Bingley.
Amazing.
I thought of that myself.
Amazing.
Get a bonus gift card worth up to $400 when you buy a fridge right now at Bingley.
Excludes bar fridges, ASCO and Miller. See bingley.com.au for details.
Where will the smart buyers be in 2019? Inglis was the only auction house to sell a Group 1 winning 2-year-old in 2018. Give your yearlings the best chance at the greatest success. Entries for the 2019 sales series close August 3. Go to inglis.com.au.
Thinking about your next build or renovation? Wideline Windows and Doors has all the planning tools at your fingertips. Their website is full of inspirational ideas to make your project a success. Advice and tips to get you started, even a colour selector and window planning tool. Plus, free online quotes are returned in 48 business hours. Just upload your plans or tell them what you need. Easy. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at the Wideline Windows and Doors website. www.wideline.com.au.
The Big Sports Breakfast.
The Sharks, Aaron Wood.
We were behind the eight ball from the get-go, so, you know, the biggest thing for us, if we can start strong and keep that momentum going for the whole 80 minutes, you know, it's going to be a really tough side.
If Paul Gallen's keep putting those Instagram shots of you and singing the song out, mate, you're going to have to learn it pretty quickly.
Well, let's hope we can sing the song every week, big time.
hey, Woodsy, you've got to finish the next line. Up, up, Cronulla.
The Big Sports Breakfast, 5:30 weekdays on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One.
Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, TAB and Volkswagen Amarok.
We spoke to Shane Flanagan last week. He's a good pickup, Aaron Woods, at this stage of the season for the Cronulla Sharks. And just on that, a big shout out to Hamish Neal, our panel operator Hamish, who's unfortunately involved in a car accident during the course of the week and unable to panel for us today. So
But he's okay.
He's okay, yes.
Sent a text saying he's... He's out of hospital. He's
all the best and get well soon, Hamish. And my thought immediately was it's extraordinary the lengths people will go to not to work on this program.
Well, you can't say that. You just did.
Hamish, if you don't want to be here, just let us know. But anyway.
How multi-talented is Producer Steve?
Producer Steve has stepped into the breach and now is doing the panelling. And I've just got to say, if we were back stuck in the dark ages with Producer Jeremy, he'd flat out driving a car.
Don't go.
He wouldn't be able to do that.
We're
miles in front. That's all I'm saying. And have a look at the score in the quiz.
Yeah, you're miles in front.
That's right.
16. I just
no surprise 16. On that, given what used to happen last year with you and Producer Jeremy.
What are you insinuating, James?
I'm not insinuating anything. I'm saying it outright. You blokes used to collude. 13:53:53. The open line number. Let's go to Peter on the line. G'day, Pete.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Pete. Mate. What do you got for us, Pete?
I've got one. John Wittenberg, was it played for St. George, come down from the bush, 29 years of age, and went on to play Test football.
He did.
And he had a couple of fingers off. He cut them off cane cutting.
Yeah, right.
Remember.
Yeah.
And the other one was Archie Moore. He was 40-odd, 41, I think, when he won a world title.
He might even been older, actually. Was George Foreman 46 or...
46 when
46?
He won the world title.
Yeah.
I
think Archie Moore was...
It might have been he fought for the world title.
I think Archie Moore actually fought for world title closer to 50. He mightn't have won it, but no, good call, Pete.
I was going to ask you, who would be the oldest jockey ever in Australia ride a Group 1? I thought it might have been Darby Munro. I know he was quite old and... No, Jack Thompson wasn't young when he won two Doncasters on Slocum, but I don't think he was. Years afterwards, but
that's
he was
a
well
really
in
good
his
question.
50s when he finished.
Peter, that's an outstanding question because you've stumped our man Ray Thomas here.
I tried to play rugby league. I was that good. This is true. I scored four tries in third grade against East and got dropped.
You're like
so I,
Jason I Gillespie scored a double 100, got dropped.
I ran the stall gift and I ran 30-90-60 in the Bendigo 1000, which was the second richest race in the world at that time.
Multi-talented, Peter. Multi-talented.
There you go, Pete.
Peter. I will try and find who the oldest Group 1 winning jockey is.
Oh, state champion Irvine beat me. So that was...
Kenny Irvine.
Yeah, I trained with him for a while. I trained the same bloke. Bill Husky Moore, he rubbed south for many years, and he was that good. he went away to this, he from South Africa in 56 in the Olympics, and they took him away to Rome. Well, they paid for his fare to Rome.
Well,
there's
our legend segment.
When the Cramer troop come to Australia, the tennis players, he looked after them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's a legend at South. He was there for,
Okay, good on you, Pete.
Thanks for the legend segment done and dusted for the day.
Look, that might be our talk topic for next week. If you want to come on and tell us about your life story, that'd be fantastic. I think Pete's just done it there. 1353.
Dropped a few names, didn't he? Yeah.
Very good. Very good name. Speaking of dropping names for the first time, the late bloomer is Ray Thomas, and now we've got Tanya Thomas to say good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Grafton and Nowra. All roads leading to Grafton, the carnival in full swing, where the weather is fine. The track is a good four. The rail is out 3 metres from the winning post to the 1600, 3 metres from the 1200 to the winning post, and there are 20 scratchings. Race one, take out number 7, Hidden Storm. 8, Lose the Snip. 16, Bonnie Forever, and 17, Hologram. 7, 8, 16, and 17. Race 2, number 1, A-Team, number 1. Out of race 3, number 4, Sapper Tom. 12, Ethanol Girl. 13, Huey, and 18, Granville Island. 4, 12, 13, and 18. Race 4, number 6, Amuthon. 16, Field of Fire. 17, My Boy Salito, and 18, Flinders Dragon. 6, 16, 17, and 18. Race 5, number 15, Clarendon House. 16, Lord Morpheus. 17, Banry de Hero, and 18, Solid North. 15, 16, 17, and 18. Out of race 6, number 1, Darcy's Affair, and 5, Slidini, 1 and 5. And race 7, take out 12, Polly Orios, number 12. Out of race 7 at Grafton. To Nowra, the weather is fine. The track's a heavy 9. The rail is out 3 metres from the 1200 to the 350 and 13 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Out of race 2, take 3, Privily, number 3, 7, Bells Creek, and 8, Only Leone, 3, 7, and 8. Race 3 is clear. Race 4, number 1, Hierarchal, and 2, Contemplate, 1 and 2 from race 4. Race 5, number 4, Watching, and 10, Russian Ahead, 4 and 10. Out of race 6, number 5, 30 Knots, and 8, Scarlet Cape, 5 and 8. And race 7, take out 7, Miss Demi, 8, Orchestral Lass, 11, Velocimia, and 12, Maleko. 7, 8, 11, and 12. Out of race 7 at Nowra, boys.
Thanks, Tan. Nowra, a couple of tips today. Jimmy, race 2, number 1, Attaboy Charlie for Bruce Cross. Very hard to beat. Down to the last, race 7, number 5, Sun and Air for Noel Mayfield-Smith. Really like his chances in the last at Nowra. South Grafton Cup Day at Grafton today. First of our specials, race 5, number 9, Slaughter Bay. And into the South Grafton Cup, race 6, number 3, All But Gone.
All right, we will put those out on social media as well in case people miss them. But they are Raymond's tips for today. Got news chasing us now. After the news, we'll have a chat with Zorba. So stick around.
Cups are designed.
I'm Sarah Wombe. Brazilian police have arrested Mario Marcelo Santoro in connection with the death of Cecilia Haddad in Sydney. The Associated Press says the Rio de Janeiro Police Department arrested Mr. Santoro today. He was arrested one day after police searched his home in Rio de Janeiro, as well as the homes of his parents and relatives. The arrest warrant was issued on Thursday. Mr. Santoro flew back to his native country, Brazil, the same late April weekend. The 38-year-old Brazilian mining executive's fully clothed body was found in Lane Cove River. There are concerns Mr. Santoro will never be extradited to Australia to face charges because of Brazilian laws and customs. Speaking at the LNP's annual convention in Brisbane, Malcolm Turnbull has told the party faithful the LNP is the party of aspiration compared with Labor's party of grievance. Mr. Turnbull focused his comments mostly on federal issues, taking aim at opposition leader Bill Shorten. Mr. Turnbull accused Mr. Shorten of being weak ahead of the Super Saturday by-elections on July 28, but Labor's National Party President Wayne Swan has hit back, saying Mr. Turnbull and his government is only focused on the wealthy.
These tax cuts are designed for people who live in wealthy electorates.
A girl has died and a woman and a boy are in critical condition following a collision in Melbourne. Police police were told a Ford Territory was travelling along Hopkins Road when it overtook a Honda SUV and collided head-on with a Ford Focus about midnight on Saturday. A 10-year-old girl who had been travelling in the Focus died at the scene, while the female driver and a young boy were taken to hospital with life-threatening injuries. A male passenger suffered serious injuries. The male driver of the Ford Territory was also taken to hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, but the five occupants in the Honda SUV, which was also hit by the car, were not hurt. Also in news, the 86-year-old woman driving the car that reversed into and killed a 6-year-old girl in a car park on the Sunshine Coast will be charged with dangerous driving causing death. And overnight, repair works continued after a high-pressure gas main in Sydney's CBD was ruptured by an excavator working on the Sydney Metro Rail project. Overseas, the death toll from flooding and landslides in Japan has risen to at least 51, with more rain expected in the coming days. The BBC's Joanna Jolly has more.
The intense rainfall in the western region of Japan's main island, Honshu, has been described as historic by the country's meteorological agency, who have urged the public to be vigilant against landslides, rising rivers and strong winds. 50,000 police officers, firefighters and members of the defence forces have been deployed in search and rescue operations. Among the dead are those who've fallen into or been swept away by fast-flowing rivers and canals. A number of people have also been injured by mudslides.
And British Prime Minister Theresa May secured a cabinet agreement for her plans to leave the European Union, overcoming rifts among her ministers to win support for a business-friendly proposal aimed at spurring stalled Brexit talks. This is AIR News. Croatia will take its place in the World Cup semi-finals after an enthralling game that finished 1-1 after regular time, 2-2 after extra time, and then 4-3 in the penalties. They'll go to Moscow to meet England for a place in the World Cup final after England took a 2-0 win over Sweden earlier. England's Harry Kane says they are feeling confident.
Today was great. We looked composed. We looked like we controlled the game. So, yeah, we just have to go again. We're enjoying it. I know the fans here are enjoying it. Fans back home, I'm sure we'll see some videos tonight of them enjoying it. So we just got to keep doing what we're doing.
Premiership contender Port Adelaide have climbed to second position on the AFL ladder with a comfortable but scrappy 36-point victory over St Kilda. The Powers' 12-14-86 to 7-8-50 win at Adelaide Oval was their fifth on the trot. In the other games, Brisbane beat Carlton by 65 points, Hawthorn defeated the Bulldogs by 63 points, and Melbourne downed Fremantle by 54 points. In the NRL, Canberra beat Canterbury 32-28 at Belmore, 6 points out of the 8 at the start of the weekend. The win means the Raiders will stay in 9th and remain a chance of playing football in September. And West Coast Fever have come from behind to beat the Sunshine Coast Lightning to move further clear on top of the Super Netball table after a 59-58 win. Australian Independence Radio News.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love the best. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Shiraz. By DeBortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
It's Christmas in July at Peter Warren Automotive with great deals on 17 different car brands all in one location. Visit peterwarren.com.au, MD5411. If you're off to the airport, busy at the moment on Marsh Street approaching the International Terminal. In Alexandria, roadworks are affecting eastbounders on Gardiners Road between Kent Road and O'Riordan Street. The tunnels, including Cross City, Lane Cove and Sydney Harbour, are accident and breakdown free. At Red Rooster, get a roast chook, large peas, large gravy, plus any two new sides like mac and cheese or sweet potato chips, just $28. Win a winner. T's and C's apply. See website for details. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
And now for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
The very best of U.S. racing 7 days a week.
Looking at Lee, can't catch, always dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au. Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Mostly sunny today, winds westerly 20 to 30 k's. Surf conditions may be more powerful than they appear and are expected to be hazardous for coastal activities such as rock fishing and swimming. Heading for a top temperature on this lovely sunny winter's day, 17 degrees in Sydney. Jimmy, what's the temperature currently at North Richmond and at Nowra?
North Richmond. 9 degrees presently at North Richmond.
Well, what's that look for?
Oh, I think it's just lazy North Richmond.
Why?
Well, Narrawina, Narrawali, any number of suburbs.
We haven't been to North Richmond before.
16 degrees maximum today at North Richmond. And then at Nowra, partly cloudy day and a maximum temperature of 17 degrees.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Another big hour coming up on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Tanya and Ray, you two are great working together yesterday morning on the Ray Show and again early today. But I have to ask, how do you put up with Jimmy? No name on that one.
Is there a prize going that gentleman's way or lady's way?
Shouldn't there? Look, it's only for a couple of hours a week, whoever it is that sent it in, so they can do it.
You're
they
a hard man. Is that why you ignore my text during the week?
No, I don't.
Only
I never,
reply when you
I
want
never
to.
Ignore your text
you
during the week.
You're very good like that.
Yeah, thank you. Zorba, Corey Brown very shortly. We'll also have our Event Cinemas quiz score update.
16:10, your
correct
way, Jimmy.
Dean Bulldog Ritchie this hour as well. We're talking about late bloomers, so that's our talk topic for today. And then the other one we're talking about was BJ Leilua last night with the Morris boys there on the ground and gets the winning try. And I said it elicited a response. And then this one comes in from Colin from Canberra. G'day, boys. Easy for you to say, Jimmy. Joey Leilua may elicit an emotion, but for us fans, it's not what I would call a positive emotion. Last night, I wish I had a dollar for every time I yelled, just get up and play the bloody ball. It's not rocket science. Cheers, Colin from Canberra. I can see how he would frustrate you as a Raiders fan. Yeah. However, I didn't have too much of a problem with that last night.
Interesting, yeah. Well, it's sort of 50-50, the calls and the texts, isn't it?
Keep them coming in too. 1353-53-0419-767. 272. Right now, time to talk to Zorba, as we do every Sunday morning. He's joining us on the line after another, well, I guess you say, week of unwanted headlines for the Manly Warringah Seagulls. G'day, Zorb.
Morning.
Hey,
morning, Pete.
Zorb, we've got to ask you about the situation that's now come to light with Manasseh Fainu in court earlier this year, and will be in court later with some pretty unsavoury accusations made against him. What's your take on what the club did, knowing that that was the case and pushing hard for him to make his NRL debut?
Well, there are mixed messages coming out, whether or not they knew. I mean, I knew, you know, 6 weeks ago and thought that the fact that he'd been to court, the media understand that, you know, they pick everything up from the courthouse anyway. I thought it was almost common knowledge. I was pretty surprised when that story came out the other day, but look, once again, it seems as though they've been through the integrity unit and that he was allowed to play. Whether or not that would have been a decision that everyone would have agreed with, I'm not sure.
Do you agree with it?
No, I don't, actually.
Right. It's interesting. And so are you disappointed with what the club have done on this occasion?
Oh, look, I just think that to let things linger, I always believe that you should get on the front foot when things happen and deal with them then, and maybe it should have been brought out later. Look, I don't know the full extent of it. I do know the kid is thinking about going on a Mormon mission for 2 years, and it doesn't equate, does it? It's pretty sad, and once again, you know, things that are put in front of young players and young players making decisions. It's a spotlight that, you know, the kid hadn't played first grade when this incident happened, and now he has, and it magnifies the whole thing and puts more unsavoury headlines around the club.
Mm. Can I just confirm that all that education that I think takes place, and certainly has in the past, is still taking place for those players coming into the under-20s and young players at NRL level about the dangers of social media and the rights and wrongs associated with that type of thing?
Yes, certainly is.
Yeah.
Very much part of being a young player and on the up in the NRL these days.
Yeah.
And talking about young players, didn't we see one bob up on at Penrith the other night?
Jerome, I know I was texting you and Jimmy during the game, but both the halves were outstanding, Tyrone May, but particularly Jerome Luai, Pete.
Well, I sat there and I thought, I am watching a replay from about 15 years ago of the first couple of times that I saw a skinny Jonathan Thurston. Now, the Cowboys built a club and enjoyed more than 15 years of success around Jonathan Thurston, and not since that skinny JT wowed us way back have I seen a young half do what this kid did to Sean Johnson and the Warriors on Friday night. Two try assists, six goals in his second NRL game, first run-on game. But it was the fact that early on in the game, he was grubber-kicking on first and second tackle in behind the line for his wingers. Didn't come up first time, come up second time with a try. I can't believe it. And the interesting thing is Penrith can't keep both he and Nathan Cleary.
Yes.
His contract's up around about the same time as Cleary. It's going to be interesting. There's going to be a real dogfight for this kid.
Well, it's fascinating the way it's playing out around Nathan Cleary. Now Penrith know that they have a young player there that is exceptionally talented in Jerome Luai, who could fill the breach. Trent Robinson has re-signed with the Sydney Roosters for another 4 years, so that puts to bed any of those rumours about Ivan Cleary, Nathan Cleary deal. The Broncos, from what we understand, are interested in that as a duo. So there's a lot of deck chairs there that are going to be shuffled around, Zorb.
Yeah, certainly. And, look, there's no hurry with it. You know, contracts have got to be played out, or seemingly so, with both the player and the coach. And it's going to be interesting. Like, talking about players coming through and making the most of it, what about Reece Martin last night? I don't think I've ever seen a player score 24 points out of 28 and be on a losing side. Mm. Three tries, 198 metres, six out of six, outstanding individual performance. The Bulldogs should have won that game. I mean, three tries in 5 minutes against an ill-disciplined Canberra at Belmore. The Raiders had an 80-minute battle with referee Grant Atkins.
Yes.
And it was a battle they could never win. And it was crazy, particularly Joey Leilua, like being pulled down a half a metre almost over the Bulldogs' line and then going for a penalty, which he didn't get.
Yes.
He tried to milk it. And then to chit-chat the referee, go downfield, and then the Bulldogs hit the lead and looked like winning the game.
Mm.
He must have felt terrible. And then he turns into the hero and wins the game in the final moment. But, boy, I reckon Ricky Stewart will be kicking his backside all the way down the Hume Highway last night. He nearly lost them that game.
So much talent, the Raiders, aren't they? It must be frustrating for Ricky Stewart. Well, we see it with his actions on the sidelines, don't we, Zorb? It must tear his hair out sometimes watching his team go around.
Yeah, and, well, spare a thought for him and spare a thought for Stephen Kearney. I mean, what about the Warriors? They just didn't turn
so
up.
Bad.
They remain an enigma. They were terrible against Penrith on Friday night. Now, I'll say this. I thought they should have had two tries early. I don't think they were forward passes. That was terrible touch judging.
No, you're right.
I thought it was awful. Now, I know they're going to get their heads down after that, but this strong style of play, when teams stand up to them and keep giving it to them back, they just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where was Sean Johnson the other night when they needed him? Where was the rest of the players that supposedly are international standard players? I look, there's something about the Warriors. I don't know. They were terrible on Friday night, and they'll be out in the first week of the finals if they're playing like that. I can cop the group deep breathing. I can respect very much the after-match group prayers, but I can't cop the smiling on-field chat with the opposition. Not when you get beaten 36-4. They're not coming over here for a holiday to have a chat with former teammates and players they knew as juniors. Like, do that away from the television cameras. Don't be throwing it back at your fans and saying, oh, we're all right, we've lost, but hey, man, everything's all right. I hate that.
Well, we saw it last night too. Clay Priest, in fairness, lost that game with the Bulldogs and, of course, playing against his old side, the Canberra Raiders, so he knew a lot of those players. He was smiling. He wasn't laughing, but I totally agree with you. Mm. I wasn't much of a player, but I hated losing, as we know here, and you just didn't do that. So I want to get your thoughts on the BJ Leilua reaction following his try at the end there. We've had a lot of people talk about how they didn't appreciate it. I don't think it was too bad a thing.
Well, he was mouthing off all game, so it was only logical that he'd finish that way. Look, I like the way he plays the game. I don't like the way that he does things like that. I've got to say that. I thought last night, though, he got under the skin of referee Atkins, and Atkins wasn't going to let him off on anything. But I don't think it's right that he does that to a defeated player after the game. I think it's unsportsmanlike, and I did some horrible things on the field that I'm ashamed of, and I reckon he'd be ashamed of the way that he nearly lost his side the game last night, and his attitude needs to change. It was pretty ordinary up in Newcastle. It looked to have been turned around, but he's got a way to go.
Mm. Well said. Hey, Zorb, there's no such thing as a dead rubber in Origin, is there?
No. Mm. No, not now, and not this has got to be some comeuppance here. And Origin 3, New South Wales won't get a better chance ever. First of all, they're up against, I reckon, the weakest Origin pack in the last 15 years that I've seen out of Queensland. It lacks size, authority, skill, mongrel. I mean, when you talk of the names like Sivanasiva, Webke, Walters, Tallis, Lindner, Beetson, you're talking about forwards. There's none of those in this pack. New South Wales, this game's got to be one of the forwards first. The backs deliver the killer blows later on. But then you've got no Inglis and no Ponga joining the other absentees at this Queensland side. They're set up for the kill here. Mm. Billy Slater's now Custer at the little bighorn. Great as he is and has been, Billy can't win it on his own. New South Wales forwards, they're bolstered now, I reckon, by Tarek Sims. Size and a bit of mongrel, they're ready for the clean sweep. And they're going to target DCE from the start when he has the ball and when he's defending. It'll be a torrid confrontation. And he's a good defender. And New South Wales won't get a better opportunity to sweep. I reckon Blues by 12. And I'm always wary about doing that at Suncorp. They can grow another leg.
Yes.
But I just can't see where they're going to beat New South Wales.
Based on what you've said, how do you feel then for Daly Cherry-Evans? Obviously, overjoyed that he's been called back into the side, but he's almost out of hiding to nothing.
Mm.
Well, he is. But he'll look, he's a terrific defender, and he's a better player now than when he was in Origin.
Right.
And I think he'll control the side. So he doesn't have to be looking over his shoulder. He's got to do it as he sees it, and he's pretty good at that. You know, he's got a good player in Munster beside him and a very good set of backs. I like Will Chambers, and he reminds me of a more subdued Joey Leilua.
Mm-hmm.
He does plenty of things on the field too. You know, Corey Oates is back on the side. I think he'll do well. But it's probably Slater's last game for Queensland. I don't see their bench giving them a lot. Every way I look at it, I think New South Wales should win this, but how many times we said that in the past and fell on our face.
Fascinating game today, Gold Coast versus the Broncos. I give the Gold Coast a massive hope, and if the Broncos are beaten, then everyone's saying the top eight's done and dusted is not quite the case.
No, I agree. Now, I like the Titans today as well. Obviously, they're without Arrow and Wallace, but the Broncos too are without Roberts, McCulloch, Maguire and Oates. I haven't liked a lot of what I've seen. They were terrible in the first half against Canberra. They were down 16-0 and then got home on the back of Anthony Milford. I just think today that the Titans can stand up at home on the Gold Coast. They've won two good wins away from home. They showed a lot of heart last week to go into the teeth of the enemy and play at Leichhardt Oval and win.
Yes.
And win fairly convincingly. I like Alexander Brimson. They've got Ash Taylor there to show them the way with a bit to prove. And with Ryan James, if he wasn't playing today, I would have gone for the Broncos, but evidently he is, and,
yep.
and I'm looking forward to a Titans win by 1-12, and then the Blues 12-plus on Wednesday night.
1-12 Titans, Blues 12-plus.
Oh, there you go.
Well, what's the head-to-head Gold Coast-Brisbane today, Jim?
$2.15 and $1.72. The Broncos are favourites in that one. If you want the Gold Coast 1-12, it's $3.40. So there's some value there, and we'll get a Blues price very shortly as well, Roman.
I'd like the value of the Gold Coast.
Okay, you like the Gold Coast.
And I'm still getting over Canberra winning that game last night.
Oh, Blake Austin.
I cannot believe, I kept writing my notes and talking to you, Jimmy and Ray, we were texting, but I can't believe that they could give that game up, the Bulldogs. I mean, Dean Pay must be absolutely, I don't think he would have slept all night.
No.
That was a game of football they couldn't lose. Blake Austin, didn't he make a difference? Oh.
Does he get man of the match, Saul, for 15 minutes of absolute magical football?
He was amazing, but watching his interview after the game, he's not happy.
No.
I don't think he's happy that he hasn't been contracted. He's not happy that he's virtually been shown the door.
Can't get a
start.
And
I think that young fella's got a bit to prove.
Mm. Okay, so where's he end up? He won't be at Canberra.
Well,
I'd hate to see him go to the UK.
The dogs are barking Parramatta. He's too good to go to England yet.
Yep.
Oh, he'll find a club. He'll find a club, no doubt.
On the back of that last night, no doubt about it. Absolutely. Zorb, good on you, mate. We've got a flight. Titans,
okay,
1-12, $3.40.
And
the Blues 13-plus, $3.75. That's your Zapper for today. Have a great Sunday, mate.
Okay, boys.
See you, Pete.
There he is, Peter Peters, with all his thoughts on the game of rugby. They go, don't you love it there? Billy Slater is Custer's little big horn.
Big horn, yeah.
Fantastic. 13-53-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Corey Brown and some of your calls.
Enter your yearlings for the Inglis 2019 Yearling Sales Series and chase the greatest rewards. Inglis's 2018 Sales Series had the highest clearance rate and the greatest average. Enter online or download an entry form now. Entries close August 3. Go to inglis.com.au.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
For more grunt talk and comfort, go and see the man. What man?
Man from Mazda, James.
That's him. Hurry into Penrith Mazda for the 2017 plate departure on the BT50 with the BT50 XT 4x4 manual now $39,990. Drive away. Let the specialist as the Mazda Ute Centre Penrith tailor a BT50 to your specific needs. With over 50 Utes on display, you're sure to find the Mazda you are looking for. Penrith Mazda, family owned and operated, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Just off the M4.
Race the best with the best. Dynamic Syndications and Rosehill trainer Gerald Ryan invite you to consider our flashy colt by exciting new sire, Verrazano. The champion son of champion sire, More Than Ready. From Let's Get Famous, dam of Group 3 winner Let's Make a Deal, and daughter of champion mare, Let's Elope. Shares in our dynamic Verrazano colt, trained by Gerald Ryan, are only $5,625. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
It's English and Fell Swoop fighting it out. Chautauqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history. Chautauqua makes it 3 in a row. That is unbelievable.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
You love that call, don't you? Darren Fendill's Chautauqua.
Oh, it's brilliant. Have a look at the race again.
Yeah. How did he win it?
How did he win? Let's hope he's a chance for the Everest.
Yeah, actually, Scooter did ask, where is Chautauqua at? I know he's back
in... Is he still in the stalls?
Probably. He's back in work at Flemington at the moment.
Right.
He has to trial twice before he can race again. So,
right.
But Team Hawks have still got him in... ready to go towards the Everest. So
I'd love to get the heart rate monitor on John Hawkes when they just about to kick the gates open for that first trial.
Oh, gee, it'll be tough. I had a good day yesterday with Corey Brown. He rode three winners. He was in terrific form, and he's been good enough to join us. Corey, good morning. It's one of those days when things worked out well for you, but I think there's a couple of horses our listeners can follow with confidence, particularly the two-year-old Halaku. Good morning, Corey.
Yeah, morning, boys. How are we? And yeah, no, it was a great day, and good to be back in the winner's circle in Sydney, to be honest.
Yeah, fair enough. Halaku, you put some margin on them, and that was a tidy win to field of two-year-olds yesterday.
It was a very tidy win, Ray. He's obviously first time I've been on him, and from the moment he settled, he's doing little things wrong. He was flicking his head, and we're going quite steady in the run. But he once he sort of started to travel up at the 600, I was always very confident. He put him to the sword quite quickly and raced away with a pretty impressive win. I thought
he was all over the place, Corey, wasn't he? And then I don't know what the last 200 just went bang. So clearly a horse of talent. What has Paul and Peter told you about him?
Paul was there yesterday telling me that he's a bit quirky, you know. He said you've got to work with him. And Ty England had ridden him before, and I spoke to Ty, and he sort of said the same. He's got a few different characters going on. But, look, he was a little bit green. But again, we went steady in the run, so I was having to sort of, like, wrestle against him a little bit, and he wasn't happy with me doing that. But in a faster run race, he would have travelled a lot kinder and obviously looked a lot more tractable. But he's still learning. He's still very young and immature. He's like a real two-year-old, even late in the season. He's sort of like he's got a bit of growing up to do. But once the penny drops 100%, I'm sure they're going to have a lot of fun with him.
Just Shine in the Wallaby Cup, fantastic performance. Mentioned after the race, you said he got into a bit of a flat spot. Tell us about that.
His win was good. He pulled quite hard during the run. Sort of like really, really sat up on the bridle. But there he got to about probably the 600, and I think it was more the condition of the track. He sort of like he hit a really damp patch where we were really ripping into the track at the 600, and I had to pull the stick over and give him a bit of a sort of a wake up. But once I woke him up, he really come up underneath me, and he worked at a line solid. I was pretty impressed, and I was pretty impressed with the horse going into the race. And what he'd done, and I was more impressed after I'd ring him race day.
Yeah, he's one to follow. As his ombudsman, after the race, Corey, Chris Waller was telling the media he thinks ombudsman's potentially a Newcastle Gold Cup type of horse. I put that question to you, and you said straight away that's probably his level. He's a nice young stay on the rise.
Yeah, he's a nice horse. He's a little bit quirky as well, right? He was very strong during the run, and going to the winning post the first time, Chris said, just take all, you know, he said, take him if you can, basically, but he said, don't set him a task, but he said, just try and get him to settle. And going to the post the first time, the speed come out of the race a little bit, and he got up on heels, and I was really starting to worry, thinking, oh, they're just going to walk, and I'm going to be all over him. But they strung out again from about the 1800, and the speed of the race is very genuine and nice. He got into a great rhythm. He's obviously got no acceleration being the sort of staying type, but he got to his top, on the top of the rise, and he kept whacking away well. So, yeah, no, he's a nice first day in the making for sure.
Yeah, no, very tough, strong through the line. And, Corey, that treble did cap off a great week. During the week, you got the confirmation that you can ride for the rest of the world team in the prestigious Shergar Cup early in August at Ascot in England.
Yeah, really excited, Ray. It's one of those jockey challenges that I think all jockeys, you know, they'd like to ride in. Mm-hmm. I've been asking for years and never been lucky enough to get it. But I sat down with all the big knobs from Royal Ascot here probably 3 months ago, and I threw my hat in the ring and asked could I get a Guernsey for the competition. And yeah, I was lucky enough to get it, and yeah, very excited about going over and representing Australia.
Unfortunately, not all good news coming out of yesterday. Bombarding ended up getting a suspension there, so you're banned until the 25th of July. But, Corey, it's not all bad news, is it? Because aren't you off on holidays?
Yeah, well, that's what I basically put my gun back in the holster. Mate, I went in there and basically threw my hands up and said, yeah, no, I I didn't actually say that I was going on holiday, but it didn't matter. But, in the back of my mind, it was definitely the first thought.
Fair enough.
That's all right. You did nothing wrong.
So what we know now is that the stewards don't read Ray Thomas's articles on a Friday.
Correct. I said the same thing when I walked out. Like, they were firing questions as if I was going to argue back about what had happened. And I was very, very soft on my evidence. But I thought the same thing. I thought they obviously don't read Ray Thomas's column. They would have known I was going on holiday.
I don't know whether it's a good or bad thing, Corey, but it doesn't matter. It's good for you. That's the main thing. And look, it's been a terrific season. I know you're riding at Grafton during the week, but look, enjoy the holiday with the family, and particularly the best of luck in that Shergar Cup.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's been great.
Thanks, Corey.
Good on you, Corey. Big day for him yesterday at HQ. Three winners, thanks very much. And, of course, confirmation that he is going on that holiday, which is even better. 1353 53 is the open line number. We've got callers there on the line now. So we'll go to Dave, who's giving us a call. G'day, Dave.
Good morning, Jimmy. Ray, how are we, lad?
Yeah,
morning,
really
Dave.
Well.
Boys, what's the listening to the Zorba there with the two forward pass tries disallowed on the Penrith game? What's the role of the flag carriers in our game these days?
Very good point.
Just that. They set the 10 metres. They also do adjudicate on forward passes. I thought the first one, the long one, was flat. I thought that was play on and probably would have resulted in a try. And from memory, the other one I would have thought, that did look forward.
One of them floated forward after Johnson passed it.
Which is allowed.
And that's an interpretation there.
That's right.
But I see where Zorb's coming from. But you're right, Davey. You don't often see the touch judges actually come in and adjudicate on forward passes these days, do they?
It just seems that every official we've got in the game are watching the play the ball.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's up. Surely if we've got two referees, that's four sets of eyes can watch, or their four eyes can watch the play the ball, and then your touchies can mark your 10 metres, which when you're at the game, you can see how far offside players are, and they say they can walk forward, but we'll get back 12 if you're going to walk forward. Get the team back 12 so that by the time they play the ball's there, they are back 10.
Common sense.
They can just do more work, I think. Yeah. They're just letting the refs down by not helping them with the forward passes because, you know, as you said, it was flat, Jimmy, but, you know, surely a flat pass is a try. So,
Dave, I'll put this question to you and Jimmy. I know we're off and on about too much technology in the game, but why isn't the bunker adjudicating on forward passes?
I've got no idea, and I don't know why when we've got two refs we need a bunker. Yeah, go back to one ref with a bunker. You know, we've just got too many officials in this very simple game, Jimmy.
Getting in the way.
I you can't go away from the bunker now. I think that would be, you know, the creep of technology needs to stop, but you can't eradicate it. So
yeah, but even from when you played, Jimmy, to now, the game is totally different, and they've made it like that, Jimmy. They've made it a very easy game. The technology's, you know, it's just, you need a feeding a rule book in your lap from one game to the next. But the rules with two referees for one game to the next game, is like them two passes on in that game, in the next game, they would have been awarded.
Interpretation. It frustrates the fans.
No consistency around that. Yeah. Totally agree.
Frustrates the fans.
And you won't get consistency until you get the one or the two referees refereeing every single game, and that's just an impossibility.
Yeah.
So, and I've said it before, there are so many discretionary decisions that have to be made by officials in rugby league games. How long was he on the tackle player? Is that long enough now? Are they back 10 metres there with me now? Is that pass a forward pass? Did that ball get, was it knocked on?
You could almost call a penalty almost every tackle, every set, so that's a frustrating part. But just back on that point, would you like to see the bunker adjudicate on forward passes and get it right?
Well, the danger is that when you get that really bad one where they go, yes, we can, and then you get the ones like Friday night where I thought it was play on.
Yeah.
And the sideline official said that. Yeah. So the 50-50. And you just, you know, all you're going to do is have debate all the time.
Yeah. It's probably not going to solve it, is it?
If you're looking for perfection, then you'll never find it. You'll never find it because you and I can sit here, look at the same incident and have different outcomes.
Human element involved.
That's exactly right. 1353 53, the open line number. Chris is on the line.
Hello, James. How are you?
Very well, mate. What do you got for us today?
Oh, just late bloomers, a couple of others. I think you had Happy Clapper as yours, but I guess Buffering falls into the same category.
Yeah, Thought of Buffering. Yeah. Yeah.
And they had one other thing in common is that certain horses called Black Caviar and Winx were stopping them, preventing them winning Group 1s earlier on, but they all had their bait. They both had their day in the sun. I think Adam Voges is another example of like hussy type.
Yeah. Adam Voges, yeah.
Yeah, Voges, he had, what was his average, 80-something?
His average ended up, he's got the second highest average in Test cricket history for batsmen who have played 20 Test innings or more. Do you know that?
And just on Little White last night.
Yes.
It reminds me of Buddy Kane years ago when he ran past Nick Cronin, ran around Cronin and scored a try, and then he flipped the bird to Cronin as he's coming back, and his coach said, you go and apologise to this guy. You're a goose. Last night, the Morris guys who have put in, 12, 13 years of sterling service, one of them was almost concussed, and this guy's carrying on like that. I thought it was a terrible look. And I think Ricky Stewart should say to him, you're an idiot, go and apologise. There's got to be better songs to sing than what we saw last night, James. If you think that was an okay look, I think you're kidding yourself.
If I was his coach, I'd do exactly what you're saying, pull him into line. But from and I'll use this in inverted commas, from an entertainment point of view, compelling-to-watch point of view, I don't think it's too bad.
You must enjoy watching autopsies or something then, James, because that's what it was like to me. I don't want to see that anywhere. I just think that was just a low act, and this guy's got no idea. He's an idiot.
Haven't watched an autopsy for weeks now, Chris.
They're good. They're good.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Good on you, mate. Thanks
good
for
call,
the call,
Chris. You're putting Chris down on that.
No. Poor fella. Disagreed with me. 1353 is the open line number. Just before we go to the break, here's an SMS that's come in. Hey, boys, not sure if you're aware, Wade Egan has signed a new 3-year deal with Penrith. Thanks to you, Jimmy, for all your positive comments on Wade since he scored 4 tries for the Warriors last year. That's Wade's dad. Now,
good young player.
We've had SMS from Wade's dad previously, and he signed off as Wade's dad. And I don't know, I'm going to make a presumption that it is, okay?
You'd think it would be.
I think he's a fabulous player, Wade Egan. I said it on air last year. There's a touch of Cameron Smith about Wade Egan, which is being way too premature.
And
but
getting that taste of first grade now, it's terrific to see.
He is an outstanding player. And if it is Wade's dad, good on you. And Lithgow Storm Jr.
Good player.
And from what I understand, a great clubman too.
Hey, James, quiz time, I reckon.
Why don't we call for it, Ray? 1353-53. If you want to be part of the quiz, score update.
16-10, Jimmy Smith, a mile in front.
Are you prepared to concede?
Almost prepared to call it out now.
Oh, there
it's
you go.
Almost shot to pieces.
3 cartons.
Is it 3 cartons?
3 cartons this year.
You stole me one, so is that balancing?
Hang on, whoa, what do you mean? I owe you one.
Because your phone's gone off twice.
So I got the one last week, I handed it out.
Yeah.
And I thought that might have covered everything.
Oh,
no. Very good. 1353-53. Call now if you want to be part of the rort. The quiz.
The Big Sports Breakfast.
Maroons coach Kevin Walters on retirements and injuries.
We've got to move on from that era as a state, and certainly myself as a coach are looking forward to, you know, the next challenge in front of us for Origin 3. No Greg Inglis now as well, no Caelan Ponga. Dylan Napa, well, I don't know if he's going to play or not. We've got some players coming in today into camp, and we'll get ourselves ready for the battle at Suncorp. I think we can assemble a really good side again, regardless of the injuries. It'll be a younger side.
The Big Sports Breakfast, 5:30. Weekdays on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, TAB and Volkswagen Amarok.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the TAB app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season. Thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the TAB app and access new NRL previews today. TAB, we love a bet. TAB previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
For more grunt, talk and comfort, go and see the man. Penrith Mazda are the BT50 experts. With the BT50 XT 4x4 manual now $39,990, drive away. Let the specialists at the Mazda Youth Centre Penrith tailor a BT50 to your specific needs. With over 50 youths on display, you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Penrith Mazda, family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4. MD 18808.
listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the quiz, the Event Cinema Quiz. And in Marvel's next installment, Raymond, Paul Rudd is back on the big screen in Ant-Man and the Wasp. They're bringing you real heroes, but not in actual size. You'll need to catch them on the VMAX screen or in the luxury of Gold Class at Event Cinemas at George Street. Just $19 for Cinebuzz members. Get your tickets now at eventcinemas.com.au. Good on you, for cash.
VMAX screen, outstanding.
Ladies and gentlemen, you wouldn't believe the arguments we have here about who's first and who's second. Ray says, oh, no, I'll go second. I'll go player two. And the only reason is because he's got an obsession with even numbers. I know for a fact that odd numbers muck him up.
So, therefore, you've reinforced that last week I was two.
So you've got to be one this week. Away you go, Ray.
Don't forget, memory like an elephant, you, Jimmy. I think Dean's on the line. Dean, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are we?
Terrific, Dean. I'm going to back you in here, mate. We need to start this fight back at 1610 Jimmy Smith's way. But, Dean, I'm backing you in. Question number one. What did Japan do to their Rostov Arena dressing room after being knocked out of the World Cup by Belgium?
Wait, what?
Actually, it's an interesting question.
Is that your answer, Dean?
I never even said anything. Someone just said destroyed, but it wasn't me. I turned it on just come through.
How many people you got helping there, Dean?
No one said anything.
Okay. Did you hear the question, Dean? You want me to repeat it?
Yeah, something about a dressing room. But
yeah.
Like the other
okay, what did Japan do to their dressing room after being knocked out of the World Cup by Belgium?
I'm just going to say what comes through. Destroyed it.
The exact opposite, actually. They left the dressing room absolutely spotless with a thank you note, and it went viral around the world on social media.
There you go.
Oh, you're kidding. Well, where's the passion, eh?
Exactly. Here we go. Then we'll get back on track here. Question number two. Roger Federer has not only won the most Grand Slam tennis titles, but he's also been in the most quarterfinals. How many Grand Slam quarterfinals has he played? It's multiple choice, Dean. Is it A32? B42, C52.
52.
Outstanding. Well done. What a player. And here we go, Dean. Question number three. In what championships did Joey Chestnut break his own world record on July 4? Was it A, the watermelon seed spitting championships, B, the hot dog eating championships, or C, the cornhole world championships?
Yeah, boys, I'm going to have to get a hot dog.
Yeah, you're spot on. You know, he had 74 hot dogs in 10 minutes, Joey Chestnut. How do you keep that down?
Oh, Joey Chestnut's become a bit of a cult hero over the last week through mates of mine. At one stage, he ate 141 hard-boiled eggs in 8 minutes. He's got a whole technique around what he does, and that's the Nathan's Famous hot dogs.
Was it Paul Newman did that in Cool Hand Luke?
Cool Hand Luke, yeah, just the raw eggs.
The boiled eggs, wasn't it?
No, they weren't boiled. They were raw, weren't they? Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah, about 50 or something, wasn't it? Anyway, hey, well done, Dean. He's got two, so good luck, James.
Good on you, Dino. I tell you what, didn't start well. Finished strong.
Finished strong.
Yeah, there you go. Might be like you. There we go. In the quiz. Hello, John.
Good day, mate.
All right, Johnny. Let's go, bud. Question one. You with us?
I'm with you.
Okay. Which country did the battered men's Australian basketball team play against?
Repeat that question, please.
Yeah, I agree. Which country did the battered men's Australian basketball team last play against?
Holland.
So that's an obscure way to ask who did they have the brawl against. Mm. Who did they have the brawl against, John?
The line was battered. You should have used.
Who the Australian men's basketball team have the brawl against?
Oh, that's right, yeah. Who was it?
Hence the word battered there, John, but that's okay.
Yeah. It was the Philippines.
Philippines, that's right.
Yeah. Anyway.
I did read that, please.
Yeah, but I have a question. Steve might be able to panel. I'm going to question producers.
Questioning Steve.
Question two. How many hours did the longest ever tennis match at Wimbledon take? Was it A, 9 hours, B, 11 hours, or C, 13 hours?
11 hours.
Yeah, well done. A little spot there on court 14, I think, by memory.
Is there?
Right? Yeah, little park. John Isner and... Nicholas Mahut.
Yeah. Mahut. Yeah. There you go. John, question three, vital this one. What is the longest recorded hold putt in a major golf tournament? Is it A, 33.5 metres, B, 37.5 metres, or C, 41.5 metres?
Oh, I'll go with the top one, 41.5.
Whiz. 33.5, that was the last one. That was by Nick Price in the US PGA.
So that means...
Oh, here we go.
James, is the fight back starting?
Possibly.
Eagle-eyed Phil said, remember last year, Ray, it's not open until the fat lady sings, or in the modern day should be the large person sings. That's a good point.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, fair enough. Dino, you there? You with us? You there?
I'm here.
Well done, Dean. We got the cash, mate. Congratulations.
Good stuff. Thanks, boys.
Yeah, and you know what, mate? We're going to send you out a couple of tickets to Event Cinemas, courtesy of Event Cinemas at Jawtree. We're also going to send you a winter pack, courtesy of the Big Sports Breakfast. Now, the winter pack consists of beanie and scarf.
That's it.
Nice. I like it, boys. I like it.
Fantastic, Dino. All right.
We'll stay on the line, Dean.
Yeah, we'll get your details, mate. Excuse me, score update, Roman.
16-11, Jim.
Oh, here it comes. Yeah. The steam
train. He's starting to put pressure,
up.
Eh?
He won't give up, will he?
What do you say, sneaky competitive?
Oh, sneaky. I think you're just outright competitive now.
I am, actually.
1353-53, the open line number. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Dean Bulldog Richie.
Race the best with the best. Dynamic Syndications and Rosehill trainer Gerald Ryan invite you to consider our flashy colt by exciting new sire, Verrazano. The champion son of champion sire, More Than Ready. From Let's Get Famous, dam of Group 3 winner Let's Make a Deal, and daughter of champion mare Let's Elope. Shares in our dynamic Verrazano colt, trained by Gerald Ryan, are only $5,625. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Enter your yearlings for the Inglis 2019 Yearling Sales Series and chase the greatest rewards. Inglis's 2018 Sales Series had the highest clearance rate and the greatest average. Enter online or download an entry form now. Entries close August 3. Go to inglis.com.au.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their SafeLine window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
See, everything was against you there. You were player one, and Dean was online three. And
did you set that up?
You bucked the trend. No, I didn't.
No,
but
okay.
That's the way it is. Hey, this comes in. Leilua was like the quiz, terrible, but we still watch/listen. Thank you very much, guys. You're right. Nobody likes a car crash, but everyone slows down to look. Might not be right, but entertainment is everything when having audience. Bad news always gets more attention than good. That comes in from H.
And, to be fair, Jimmy, you've been castigated because Cool Hand Luke was boiled eggs.
It was. Hard-boiled eggs.
Was it Paul Newman? I'm pretty sure.
Paul Newman, yeah. I'll go with you on that one. Cool Hand Luke. Them was hard-boiled eggs, a bit like your head, Jimmy. That's from Paramat. Can't disagree with that one either. The raw eggs was Rocky. Rocky Balboa.
Ah, yes.
Sylvester Stallone was eating the raw eggs. I don't know how we got there, but anyway, we're going to Dean Richie right now with all the latest from the world of rugby league, including an Origin update. I know he's been with the team over the last 6 or 7 days. G'day, Dino.
Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray.
Morning, Dino.
Build up to Origin. Gee, it's been, dare I say it, under the radar, this one. Nice and quiet.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a funny one, Jimmy, hasn't it? It's a real different feel to this one than it has for the previous two Origin games. Look, normally, you know, if ever the series has been over before, it's Queensland's way. So it's a bit of an odd feeling that it's actually over in our favour. But look, the camp's been pretty similar in some ways, Jimmy. The boys are nice and relaxed. They're doing their yoga. They're doing their mindful breathing. They're training. They've got lots of smiles on their faces. It's been a real happy and united camp. I checked in this morning, guys. Boyd Cordner still maintaining that he will be there, albeit training has been limited for the skipper during the week.
Mm.
They'll train again this afternoon at 2:30 at Allianz Stadium. They'll have tomorrow off. They'll travel up to Brisbane in the afternoon. They'll have a captain's run at Suncorp at 3 o'clock on the Tuesday before, of course, the 8 o'clock kickoff on Wednesday evening.
Mm. Hey, Dino, I asked Sauber earlier, there's no such thing as a dead rubber in Origin. We all know that, but does Queensland have more to play for now? Will they use this to sort of launch their 2019 campaign?
I remember in 2014, Ray, we, as in New South Wales, won the series after the first two games. Mm-hmm. We went up to Brisbane and we got belted. It was, I think, 32-8, guys, and that really gave Queensland a bit of impetus for the following year to kickstart along. So you know what Queensland's like, Ray. Mm. There's no way they'll think it's a dead rubber. They'll be out there to win. Funny notion, though, from Brett Camorley yesterday, I read, guys, and I just thought it was quite interesting that he thinks that Daly Cherry Evans has been, his words, not mine, set up to fail.
Mm.
They didn't want to put Ash Taylor in there. He was just a bit young this year. They'll bring him in next year as a long-term halfback. So, Noddy's suggestion was that DCE would be there for one game only. Win, lose, or draw, he'll be out next year, and Taylor will be in there for the long term.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to look at it, isn't it? Dino, by the way, did you just put yourself in that Origin squad of 2014?
Jimmy, I was there, mate.
How would you best describe your role? Pivotal?
Oh, half-time speech.
Half-time speech.
Yeah, fair enough. Hey, we spoke to Zorba about the latest coming out of Manly. Now, this is a club that over the last 12 to 18 months has lurched from one crisis to another. He said he was disappointed in the actions of the club. Are we expecting any more fallout from this with Manasseh Fainu?
Look, at the moment, Jimmy, I wrote that story on Friday night. It appeared in yesterday's Daily Telegraph. Manly, at the moment, is seeking and has been given guidance from the NRL Integrity Unit.
Mm.
Manasseh will front court at Fairfield Local Court on the 7th of August. Until then, it will be pretty much a status quo. He'll be picked in the side, as far as I know, which plays Melbourne next Saturday down there at Brookvale. Look, until that court case happens, Jimmy, I think you'll just find that not much will change in that if he is found guilty. And, look, I don't want to prejudice the case or predict what will happen. He hasn't entered a plea just yet. He is seeking it to be held under the Mental Health Act, Section 32. You know, if, as I said, he is found guilty, I guess then he would expect some sort of sanctions, whether it be a fine or, a suspension.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, Dino, a bit of a change of pace. Our colleague Buzz Ruffield has reported this morning Trent Robinson has signed on an extension of his contract with the Roosters for another 4 years.
Yeah, it's big news out of the Roosters. It's really funny, guys. Apparently, I was speaking to Buzz yesterday. It happened a few weeks ago. So it's been kept fairly quiet in Rooster Town. Of course, what it does do, guys, it does bury that persistent rumour which has been around that Nathan and Ivan Cleary would end up at Bondi together in 2020. Trent Robinson's done a wonderful job. He's got a good team this year. They're positioning themselves very, very nicely for that run into the semi-finals. And, I said at the start of the year, I think the Roosters will win the competition. Certainly South has clouded my thinking just a little bit, but wouldn't it be an amazing grand final if the two 1908 Foundation sides met on that big day in late September?
Promoter's dream, that one. Promoter's
dream. Absolutely, Jimmy.
Blake Ferguson says no to Newcastle, says yes to Parramatta, but the Newcastle spending spree is well and truly on.
Yeah, they're still chasing, Jimmy, I can tell you. Tevita Pengai Jr. from the Broncos. Look, Brisbane think that they'll get him. He's a good player, Tevita Pengai. I've got a really huge rap on this young boy. He's big, he's powerful, and the Knights are chasing him still very hard. Look, I think deep down they do expect him to remain at Brisbane, but certainly they're in there fighting till the end. While on Brisbane too, guys, Jermaine Asako, the winger, he's only 22, he's a good player.
Mm.
He's been linked to the Roosters. Nothing happened has happened just yet. Again, Brisbane will fight hard to keep the youngster, but certainly there is a bit of interest from what I hear from Bondi Junction.
Goal kicking.
Exactly, yeah. Hey, Dino, today's game, Broncos-Titans. Big game for the Broncos for obvious reasons. Any changes to either lineup?
Yeah, that's the 4:10 game up there at Cbus Stadium, Ray. The Titans have checked in this morning, 1-17. The only player they've got in thumb down is the shoulder injury to Jack Stockwell, but he did train yesterday, so we expect him to take his place in that Titans side. Now, over there at the Broncos, Tom Opacek, the centre, goes out. Young Katoni Stagg goes into the centres there. He's a rising star, young Katoni. Jaden Sewer, he was in thumb down, but he's been cleared to play. And with that one change at centre, David Fifita, a young kid also up there at Brisbane, comes onto the bench.
He's a superstar, yeah. David Fifita, and will be a long-term representative player. Any other news around Dino?
Yeah, that's the main one. That Barney to Powell to the Roosters rumour, Jimmy, just keeps floating around. Manly, though, adamant to Powell won't be going anywhere, but certainly where there's smoke, there's some fire. So we'll just keep a close eye on that one. I think he'll be at Lotto Land next year, but don't be surprised if he's elsewhere. And just confirming that news overnight too, Todd Carney has signed a short-term deal with Hull Kingston Rovers over there in Super League.
Are you surprised he's not can't get a start in the National Rugby League?
I am, Jimmy. He's a former Dally M player, Origin, Australia. He didn't want to go over there. I spoke to Todd several times. It was his last resort. Mm. So obviously it has come to that, Jimmy. It's his last resort to keep his career going, but I can't believe some clubs are struggling through the Origin period. And here's this genuine star just, you know, virtually sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah, I'm not as surprised as you.
He's got baggage, Jimmy. There's no doubt about that. There's no denying that. But, you know, we've given a lot of second chances in rugby league. Look at Matt Lodge, for example.
Sure.
What he did was worse than what Todd Carney's done, and yet Todd can't get a start.
Sought rehabilitation and has undergone that for the last 18 months, Matt Lodge, and I don't think we